It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet.
What is going on? Thank you for downloading another episode of the Chris Van Vliet Show. And thank you to everyone who's been leaving such nice reviews. And that's a hint, yes, if you haven't left one yet. There's still time. In fact, you can do it as I'm speaking this right now. And if you don't, it's okay. You're still awesome. I love you anyway. So I just got back from a trip to London where I did this interview with Simon Miller, who you'll know from What Culture. Simon's probably the nicest guy that you'll ever meet. I randomly emailed him a week before I left for London and I said, hey, I'm flying in on a Tuesday. I land at 10 a.m. I've got a bit of free time before I interview the cast of Spider-Man for my day job hosting Deco Drive in Miami. Can we do the interview that day? He said, absolutely. I'll even come to you. Although, on my way to the airport in Miami, I realized that I somehow forgot to pack my microphones and tripod, which is obviously pretty important if you're planning to do an interview. I was actually scared because of this that I wasn't going to be able to do the interview because I didn't want the audio to sound like crap. I wasn't going to do it if that was the case. I emailed James D'Lo, the host of Gorilla Position, because I was going to be a guest on his podcast right before this interview with Simon was scheduled. I said, is there any way, James, that I can borrow your mics? James said, yeah, of course, no problem. So a massive thank you to James for not only having me on your show, but also for saving this interview with Simon and lending me your gear. That's amazing. That was the mics. Instead of a tripod, because I didn't have one, I propped my camera up for the YouTube video using some teacups and saucers that happened to be in my hotel room. How British, right? So this is such a great chat with Simon. But first, the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads, and not all CBD products are created equal. We've heard a lot about CBD over the last year or so, and a lot of companies have launched hoping to cash in on the CBD boom. But they've got some pretty bad low-quality formulas, and some of them don't even actually have CBD in them when you test them. Green Roads is a pharmacist-founded company dedicated to improving the lives of people who take it. People like me, their CBD oil, super easy. Couple drops under your tongue, and it's really helped with inflammation, and it's helped with focus, too. And the gummy bear candies they have, the Relax Gummies, pop one of those. Tastes amazing, and it's called a Relax Gummy for a reason. It really helps, and it tastes great. Use my code CHRIS15 to get 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. The CVV Show also brought to you by Samson Technologies, and that's the microphone I'm speaking into and all the recording equipment we're using. I mean, the podcast is pretty new, and if it wasn't for Samson, we wouldn't be able to do this. They're making us sound great and helping us out. So SamsonTech.com is where you can check out their full lineup of very affordable stuff. So Simon's a lifelong wrestling fan, like you, like me, like all of us. But you also know that he's now a wrestler, and he has been for the last 3 years. Congrats to him on that. We dig into that. We also dig into this whole split between What Culture and Cultaholic and a ton of other stuff. So here you go. It's the interview that'll make you say, why? It's Simon Miller. We're making this happen.
We are.
Yeah.
Happening right now.
Here it is.
The wonder of the internet what crazy thing we could do in 2019. If we had wanted to do this 20 years ago, you'd have to walk to one of those machine gun cameras. And you can't, that's just not a way to live anymore.
No. I heard someone talking about this recently. He was saying, you know, right now we can go live by clicking a button on our phone.
I mean, you know, how crazy is that?
If you wanted to go live even 5 years ago, you had to own a TV station.
Exactly. You have one of those weird directing panels that I still don't understand. And I see people, they look like a kind of child's play set. And then you see someone using it, like it's the most complicated bit of equipment I've ever seen in my life.
And you'd also need 15 or 20 employees. Now it's just like this.
It's just us sat here doing this in London, England. A wonderful place.
It is. I'm here for just 2 days, and I'm like, I got to talk to Simon if I'm here.
That's very kind, man. Like, when you did message me, I was very flattered. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I was like, well, yeah, I was. Why pretend otherwise? I was a bit like, I had that little guy, you know, you always have two guys on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And had one guy, I was like, why does he want to talk to us? He's like, you know, that guy hasn't quite caught up with everything else. So I don't know. I guess he just wants it. Let's just go with it. And that guy's like, yeah, Simon, you've got it. I'm
good.
Like, yeah, pat him on the head.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan and congrats on everything you're doing.
That's very kind, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Which is weird because I was a fan of your stuff as well.
Oh my
which
gosh.
Always sounds like a lie when people say it, doesn't it? It's like the expected response, but it's true. Well, I've been watching all the stuff that you've been doing. Because obviously over the last few months, I would say, you can see the curve. You can see, oh, who's the Chris guy doing all the wrestling stuff. So
I'm the Chris guy doing the wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when you compliment someone, you say, I'm a big fan of your work, you always want to be the first person saying it, because the second person's just like, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, I'm also, yeah.
It's true, because you just sound like you're just making up, like, etiquette. Just say, like, and hope he doesn't ask anything about it. Otherwise, we're screwed. Not true at all. Obviously, the Cody one blew up. But even before that, I'd seen sort of bit drips and drabs dropping. And then, yeah, man, they're just fun, nice interviews, which is not, it's not a rarity in wrestling, but a lot of people obviously have always gone in with the, pow, shoot, where's the shoot? Sometimes you just want to hear wrestlers talk.
The weirdest thing is, the biggest comment I get on my interviews is, thanks for letting the people talk. And I'm like, yes, that is why I invited them to have a conversation with me.
Yeah, that's what's like wrestling, isn't it? Some people want to get themselves over. That's what it's all about. They want to get themselves over. The more power to them. If that's what you want to do, good for you. You do whatever you want.
If that's your thing... Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm here. I invited you on the show because I want to talk to you.
I'm honored to be here, genuinely.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. I told my girlfriend, she didn't get wrestling at all. It's like, whom? It's just like, I don't know what that means. I said, don't worry about it. It'll be a good day. It'll be a good day. So, yeah, no, I'm really happy to be here, man. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I guess the biggest question is, why?
Exactly. And I have to go, here's why, and slap my head.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that that's, if you had told me that when I was a child, it's like, that's a weird thing to happen. But yeah, I mean, why? There is no answer. Apart from here, like, there is no answer. That's not true at all, isn't it? Here's why is always the answer. Mm-hmm. I get that. Some people go, why? I'm like, the answer is, it's literally always been here's why, every time.
I think we just learned something.
We did. It's like existential up in here. That's what it is.
It is.
Yeah.
With the head slapping, people compare you to Ryback.
Yeah, oh, geez, dude. You've met Ryback as well.
Hi, Ryback's a great guy.
Yeah, he seems like a nice dude. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm a bald guy. And, you know, the best one is Ryback. That's the best thing. And when I started wrestling, everyone was like, oh, you should be in a team with Ryback and be called Ryback. And I was like, actually, to be fair, if that could happen, that would be more beneficial for me than him. But still, yeah, no, I get it. If you're a bald dude that lives weights and you're in wrestling, I get Goldberg,
yes.
I get Ryback, I get Cesaro's less down. Cesaro's like number three, and then Ryback and Goldberg are like eking
Cesaro,
out for one and two.
That's quite a compliment, actually.
I think they're all pretty much compliments. I mean, like, Ryback is a tank, Goldberg is one of the most successful pro wrestlers ever, and Cesaro is just the dude, isn't he? So, you know, sometimes people say it as an insult, and I'm like, I'm not offended by any of this. Just so you're aware, like, it's really nice that you're comparing me to these successful people.
Yeah. Can you tell me some more great wrestlers that I like?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's all right. So, yeah, no, I get all of it. And I love it. I'll have it until, you know, as long as it can continue to go, I hope that it goes.
As someone myself who trained to be a wrestler at 20 and couldn't balance it with school and everything else going on, I'm really impressed that you're doing this in your 30s.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't suggest it for everybody because your knees and elbows and shoulders go far quicker than they should. But yeah, it was one of those things where, I mean, it was, we documented the whole wrestling journey thing on What Culture, obviously. And it was just one of those things that deep down, because I tried to train in my 20s as well, but I just wasn't mentally ready for it, I guess. Because you change as a person as you grow up. You get different experiences, and that gives you certain confidence or some kind of self-assuredness or whatever. Even self-worth. Your self-worth goes up too. And I just couldn't handle it mentally. It just broke me apart. And then, but I knew I had one more like attempt in me. So, you know, when I started working at What Culture and we were looking for new series ideas, and lo and behold, a wrestling school just happened to open 20 minutes from my house. I mean, it was all these things where I was like, I think this is your one last opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all just came together to the point where it made sense.
Yeah.
And thankfully, so far, it's been going okay.
But this isn't something like I'm taking piano lessons right now. And like, I won't
That's
take.
Awesome, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm very big on like trying to learn a new skill.
Oh year. Man, hell yeah!
Yeah,
every
yeah.
day. Yeah.
So like, if I don't take a piano lesson this week, no big deal. I'll take one next week because I'm in London right now. But like with wrestling school, like that's committing like a big chunk of time and like a big part of your life to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. Like, there's no point otherwise. But I kind of always live by the idea that good things are hard to get to.
Yes.
Not, and the hardness isn't it's not a negative hard. It's a positive hard. This means there's a challenge here that you've got to overcome. And there's going to be some ups and downs. Some ups and downs along the way. See, live the gimmick. Live the gimmick. But it's true. And it's the same thing with the gym. It's the same thing with wrestling. Same thing, everything. I love doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. I'm passionate about it. And I've got that weird thing in my stomach where when you don't do it, there's that hole starts to appear. I need to fill that hole with things.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that wrestling finally fit. So, yeah, you know, there's something, I go all over the place now for training schools. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm so great or anything like that. But even if one I want to go to is a few hours away, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Because I know the experience I'm going to get is gold. I know when I'm driving back, I will have learned. And then I can use that progressing, because who knows how long that's going to go on for. You know, it could go on for another month, it could go on for another 6 years. You don't know. Like, there's just no way to tell. So it's the same with everything that I do. Enjoy it now, act and live like it will go on for a long time, but always be aware that you can't account for anything. And when you've got that in your head, you're like, you know what, screw it, man, let's just go, let's just see where it ends up.
But you must have a goal though with wrestling. So what's the goal?
Well, my goal, it's the worst answer ever. My goal is just to get better, which I know sounds rubbish.
Okay, but that's,
what it's about.
That's a good short-term goal.
Exactly, because originally it was just to have a match. And then I thought maybe I can have a match and sort of, you know, cross it off. But then I had a match and I was like, no, that's the most addictive thing ever. So I've got to make sure I do that again. And then it was, okay, well, now let's get good. Let's establish ourselves as not, because look, I love the fact, I think it's really important to have something unique when you get into wrestling. And being a YouTuber that covers wrestling to becoming a wrestler, I think there's something cool about that.
Yeah.
Not everyone thinks that, but I think there's something cool about that. But at the same time, you want to get to the point where you're not the YouTubing wrestler. You're a wrestler who also does YouTube. Do you know what I mean? Because people just look at you and go, oh, wow, he knows what he's doing. So that's my goal right now. And what comes of that? I don't know. That's my question. My answer. I don't know. I just need to see. Because right now I'm still in the very much the learning phase. Well, everyone's always in a learning phase. But I'm in like the actual learning phase. Not like, oh, I should you know, work on my ring psychology. I'm like, did I run the ropes right? Like, so there's a big difference. And I think it's always good to, you know, small baby step goals, I think, are good. And that's where I am right now. Wherever it goes, it goes. And yeah, by the end of 2019, I'd like to get to the point where I look back to now and go, oh man, over that last 6 months, Simon, you really developed, you really evolved. Yeah. So, and if that happens, then we can start 2020 with a whole new outlook.
Well,
that works for me.
I think they say that if you don't look back and if you're not embarrassed when you look back, then you're not doing something right. Yeah. Like, you're not progressing.
Absolutely, right? Because that means you haven't changed and things are in the same place. In fact, I used to work in video games and they used to have this award ceremony called, and one of the awards called Rising Star. And I always wanted someone to win Rising Star back to back, because you could go, dude, you didn't rise. You just stood in exactly the same place. And I think that's the same with life. Like, I really do. You don't necessarily have to progress. It doesn't even have to be sort of like a progression where you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, wow, I achieved X, Y, and Z. It can just be, I learned a lot. Yeah. Great, I learned a lot. How do I take that and make sure that I don't do it again and I become a better person? So, yeah, the bottom line right now is that I love the wrestling.
Yeah.
It has, again, filled something in me that did need filling. And let's see where it goes, man. You know, it's early days still. That's the thing. I understand. You know, some people, 5-6 years before they even get competent. So, you know, you can't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
You got to take it easy and enjoy it. That's the key. You got to enjoy this stuff.
What were you doing before What Culture?
Well, before What Culture, video games were where I began.
Like reviewing them?
Yeah. Well, I used to run I did loads of stuff. Like, sort of way back in the day, I worked for magazines and things like that. Worked my way up to editor. Then the internet became a thing. So you're like, well, I don't work on these magazines anymore.
Right.
Like, I need to get on the internet. So yeah, technically before I started working at What Culture, I was working for a video game website. I was their editor-in-chief, but it was just so... I mean, the reason I went there is because YouTube was becoming so big, and I was utterly obsessed with YouTube. Like, when I was working even for companies in sort of like 2010, 2011, before the boom, I was like, guys, we really need to get on this YouTube thing. And of course, everyone goes, YouTube, we've got a DVD. And you're like... That's the best idea I've ever heard. And yeah, because their website, videogamer.com, was so focused on YouTube, I got involved with that. And that's kind of where I just started doing a load of gaming videos. They got some traction, but not like YouTube traction. They found a niche audience. And those, you know, those, bless those people, they followed me all the way through. So, you know, I love them to death. But yeah, that, but that just taught me what worked, what doesn't work, helped me get more comfortable in front of a camera, tried some things. We did a lot of wrestling-inspired stuff on that channel because I never, if you do this, that's great, each to their own. But I was just a bit bored of the whole video. You watch a video game YouTube channel, especially sort of 4 or 5 years ago, and it was just, here's a review, here's an interview, here's a preview.
Yeah.
And it was all kind of controlled, I get it, by the system, by PRs and gaming companies, of course, because that's the world we live in. I didn't mind that, but I was like, well, I don't want to do, what's the point? Again, where's the uniqueness? Where's the originality? So I was like, well, I like wrestling. So we came up with a weekly series, and we all played caricatured versions of ourselves, but we got the gaming news through these little sort of YouTube videos. So you could tune in for... it got out of control eventually. Like, by the end, there was like a civil war going on between us, and the buildings were blowing up. But that's what we did. And so, you know, if we had a review event, we'd go to the review event, but we would do it as our characters, and we would work in story elements, because I thought, well, that's what I like, and there'd always be fake fights and things like that. But it served me really, really well. That's where I cut my teeth. And then when the What Culture opportunity came up, don't get me wrong, if you go back and watch early What Culture videos of me now, unbearable. I mean, I struggle to watch myself now, but back then, unbearable. So, I think that's where I got all my experience in that sense. Before evolving again, moving on, everything that we've talked about. So,
did What Culture, like, did you audition for it?
I mean, kind of. People always want an amazing story. It started because I saw a tweet. That's what it...
Okay.
What Culture
this
put out
an amazing story.
Yeah, What Culture put out a tweet, as lots of big, you know, publishing houses do, and there was like something like, do you like wrestling? Do you do videos? We're looking to hire people. And I was like, I do those things. So I'd actually started doing wrestling content on the Video Gamer channel, because I was like, we shouldn't just be focusing on video games. We should just try and be entertained. Just test the waters.
Yeah.
So I cut a few of those together. I sent them over, as well as some of my video game stuff, to show what I could do. They gave me a trial run, which is fair. So that was like an audition, yeah. Got loads of feedback. And then, yeah, they put that video live. It did well. Well, as well as it ever does when all of a sudden a new voice and personality pops up on a well-established...
Yeah. Who's this guy?
Yeah, screw that guy. Yeah. Die. And it was one of those things where it just took it from there. Again, one video at a time. And now here we are, and I'm very lucky.
How many videos are you putting out, or are you mandated to put out each week?
Well, me personally, if you watch the channel, obviously, because a lot of it is evergreen content, so it can come out whatever. But personally, I aim to try and do like eight videos a week is always my goal. Yeah, I like to work.
Eight.
I like to work, and obviously, there's loads of other great writers and video guys at What Culture doing the website and the YouTube channels too. But yeah, I like to work. If I'm not working, but this is the thing. It's such an asshole thing to say. But work to me is not work.
Yes.
Work to me, I get to review Raw, and I get to say why Rusev's the greatest man ever. Do you know what I mean? This is
And you love Shane McMahon.
I love you, Shane McMahon. The thing is, I do like Shane McMahon. This is the thing. Like, I loved it when he came back in 2016. I loved it. I remember being in my... I was in a tiny flat at the time. Tiny. I hated that place. But I remember being in my tiny flat, and I had Raw playing on my TV. And when I heard that music, I turned around with this... I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, here comes the money.
Here comes the money, especially because I was doing my wrestling podcast then, which has been going for eons now. And I'd said to the guy I had on as a joke, I said, just bring Shane McMahon back. We all laughed. And then, you know, he came back, so it was great. So, I mean, it's not Shane McMahon that I don't like. It's just that you could do it with anyone. If you overexpose somebody week in, week out, eventually, just as a fan, I get a bit like, yeah.
Yeah.
Could see less of you. That would be anyone, though. You could do it with Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day.
Well, it's tough because WWE has so much, you know, like it's Raw, then it's SmackDown, then it's NXT, then it's 205 Live.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. And they have a giant roster, and we see the same 10, 12 people all the time.
Exactly. And the wild card rule hasn't necessarily helped with that. But it's really, really hard. Even though obviously I have a review show, I never try to be too overly critical about things that I know are hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Like, people think this is true, but it's not. I will never say that was a crap match, Because to me, there is no such thing as a crap match. And people, I understand they roll their eyes at me. But because I've done it and I know how hard it is, yeah. I don't have it in me. I will say that wasn't a match that I enjoyed, but I would never go, this match was crap because that arm drag was a pile of rubbish. Yeah. I'm like, that's... It probably was a pile of rubbish, but I don't feel comfortable saying it just because, A, everyone knows... That's not something you can debate over. If someone botches an arm drag, you can botch an arm drag. And I know usually 9 times out of 10, the person that will be beating themselves up is the performer.
Yeah.
So I will never, ever try to criticize too hard in that sense because I just don't think it... I don't know. There's too much negativity in wrestling as well. And I like to try and...
For sure.
Yeah, there are other things you can focus on in terms of why didn't the story make sense or as opposed to a human being made a mistake in the ring.
Yeah.
We've got Botchamania for that. He's smashing it. You can go check it out. So, yeah, my thing is always trying to look at the more, you know, above... And one of the hard things is, you know, how do you work in everybody and give them credible storylines? I mean, it can be done because we've seen WWE do it before.
Yeah.
Just as of right now, that's not one of their strong suits for whatever reason.
And I've been saying that we're just kind of in the post-WrestleMania lull. It's tough because there's all this build up to WrestleMania,
yeah.
And then afterwards it kind of goes into a dip, up for SummerSlam dip, and then up for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And I think that people are so quick to criticize the product. Like, we're all wrestling fans here. Whether you like WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, whatever, we're wrestling fans. And I think that that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. And I get this more than anything on social media and stuff. You're too positive. You're not calling the WWE to task, even when you can watch through an episode of Ups and Downs, and I've just completely said that was bad, this was bad, but, you know, because I said one thing was good. But that to me is, I think people should be allowed to be as negative as they want, but I also think people have to be allowed to be as positive as they want. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a minority, but there are this contingent of people out there who will go searching for those who are saying, oh, I liked Raw this week, and they'll tear them down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just don't do that. You can say that it was the worst show you've ever seen, and genuinely, if you get a source of fun by watching it and ripping into it on Reddit, I get it. There is something fun to that, like the mob mentality kind of a thing, but make sure you keep it there. Like, I see so many people, and bless their hearts for getting in touch with me, like, it's humbling to say the least, saying, you know, Simon, I like WWE and you make me feel like it's okay to continue to like WWE. And I always sit there and I shake my head like, what a lovely message to receive. And I think it's really important because you can get someone saying, oh, I don't agree with you, let's have a chat. But if you think that's what Twitter is, you are wildly mistaken. And that's the only thing that I think is a genuine problem. Like, if you enjoy Drake Maverick wetting himself, I mean, genuinely awesome, because they wanted to entertain you, and they did. But by the same token, if you thought it was terrible, that's good as well. But we just need this... I sound like a hippie, but it's true. We just need that piece of love and just to accept people's opinions. And, you know, and look, if the naysayers are right and in 10 years' time, all this does lead to WWE going out, but so don't believe in any sense. But even if it does, okay, you were right and you can gloat about it then. But right now, let, you know, Pete in Brighton enjoy his rubbish episode of Raw. Just let him enjoy it. Let him enjoy it. It's okay.
I do think it's hard to make 3 hours of television. You know,
3 hours is too long, isn't it?
It's difficult. Now, I work in television and I have, you know, my entire career. 3 hours is a lot. Like, that's basically telling people to watch a movie and a half every single Monday night.
Exactly. And a bit of SmackDown, which now obviously ties in,
sure.
And trying to remember all the stories.
Yeah.
You can't do anything for 3 hours. You just can't. Like, I love the gym, right? Don't want to go for 3 hours. I really, really don't. Like, eventually, after about that 2 mark,
yeah.
I'm like, I can probably go home and get some... you know, food now.
Yeah.
So but I understand it as well. That extra hour makes WWE loads of money.
Of course.
And it's a business. And I don't think you can ever forget about that because it's true. But again, don't have to like it. That's the key. You don't have to like it. You're more than able to go, well, maybe they should put the fan experience before this extra money they're making in the third hour. And then I go, and there's the debate. See, that's the cool stuff to talk about, as opposed to doom and gloom. Die, everybody, die.
So, have you always been a gym guy?
Yeah, that was my first love. Well, other than wrestling, I mean, wrestling was my first love when I was like six, 7 years old.
Yeah.
But in terms of when you're kind of in adolescence, whatever you want to say, yeah, I went into a gym when I was 16 years old, and it sounds so dumb, but it's true. I did one dumbbell curl. My brain just went, "Yeah, we'll do this for a while," and that was it. And it was just it just made so much sense to my brain. And again, I don't mind talking about it because, you know, it's all on my own personal YouTube channel. It helped because I got bullied when I was in school as well, quite badly. But again, that ties into my mentality with the wrestling. My brain just took a while to just understand who I was as a person. And finding the gym was a great way for me to... That's when my confidence started.
Yeah.
And especially when, you know, it takes a while, but after the first couple of years, when you do start to see proper changes and people start to comment on it, and you're like, oh, wow, like that's something I put loads of work into.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing the results down the line. Maybe I'll apply this to my life. So you think I'll do... Oh, it's working. And you're like, yeah, so without the gym... I'm just not very happy. No, I'm always a happy person, but I'm a better person.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's some strange correlation that people have, though. Like, oh, if you work out and have muscles, you must be stupid. Like, I don't understand why that's a thing.
I don't know because it makes me, it made me a much more productive and well-rounded person.
Yeah.
Going to the gym. I can't really explain why, but it did. I guess it's just a stereotype, isn't it? Oh,
it is.
Muscles, wee. Maths book. I don't know. I don't understand that connection. But yeah.
But I think that going to the gym like gives you a regimen. It makes you like, okay, I'm gonna do this with this portion of the day, which means that I can now do this, this, and this with the other portions of my day.
Exactly, right. It always gives you something to do.
Yeah.
Always. Even if you wake up and you have a completely clear slate, you think, well, I've got to get the gym in and I wanna get my 5-6 meals, whatever the current plan you're doing.
Yeah.
And that to me is great. That's what I like. I like having something to focus on every day. I find it keeps me creative. It keeps my brain ticking over as opposed to not having anything to do and then feeling a bit like, oh, I don't really have a direction. That's why when I hurt my shoulder wrestling in my fifth match, I know, I'm just getting in front of the comments. How many matches, Miller? 5. That's right. I was just catching up for lost time. That was actually the hardest thing. Aside from when I'd sort of gotten over the mental side of being injured, I was like, oh, I really want to get back to wrestling. At first, it was that whole, oh, I can't go to the gym. And I had these days where I was just like, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I completely... And it's a real... To me, it grounded me, absolutely. And it still does to this day. Because it's such a cheesy thing, but it's true. The gym humbles you. Because it kicks your ass, right? When you leave, you're like, man, I feel terrible. Well, I feel good, but I feel terrible. And I think it's a really good way just to... It just is. It just works for me. It ticks my boxes.
It's funny how, like, you know, you never... There's those days where you wake up and you're like, I don't feel like the gym today. And then you get there and you're like, this is all... I'm so glad I did this.
Absolutely, right?
You never get halfway through a workout and you go, you know what? I'm out of here.
No, you don't.
No.
Unless you injure yourself, but that's something different. But no, you don't, do you? And then I think in those sessions at the end, you almost feel more empowered because you're like, I got through something I didn't want to do and now my body's rewarding me for it. And again, I think you can take that into your work life as well.
Yeah, oh, I'm getting deep again.
No, it's true, man. I always talk like this. This is the problem. This is why...
This is good. Well, I do too.
I like talking about that kind of stuff because I'm well into mental health. Like, I'm really, really into it because I just think it's really important. And I think the more people can chat to it about it like this, the more normal it becomes. And then hopefully when other people do sort of struggle with it, they're like, oh, it's okay. You know, I don't even like the word, I think I'm an idiot for thinking this. I don't even like the word struggle. I think that's a terrible thing to put on someone who's got men. Oh, you're struggling. Nah, you're just living life, man. Because everybody deals with that stuff. No one wakes up every day and goes, oh, I feel great right now.
Yeah.
They just don't. Like, it's just not true. So, yeah, and I think it all ties in to this kind of stuff where you kind of wake up, you feel how you feel. Who knows why the brain does what it does. And then you just find these cool things to get through, which is why, you know, going back to what we were talking about, doing all this stuff. That's why I do it, man, because I'm like, how lucky am I? I'm not saying I didn't work for it. I did, but hard work doesn't equal anything. No one deserves anything. You may feel like you do, but unfortunately the world doesn't care. But when you do, for me anyway, when you find that you have these opportunities and you're enjoying them and they're really giving you a sense of satisfaction, it's like, well, let's just keep that going and see where they are. So,
do you have a phrase that you like or that you live by?
No, not massively. I mean, just... Well, I mean, just to try and be as positive as I can, but not in a... Some people think that means you wake up, morning, and you, like, cartwheel down the stairs. It's like, I hate that guy. I'd be like, what are you doing? But yeah, just to always... Just always try and take stock of everything. And yeah, never try and get too carried away. But no, there's no real phrase or anything like that. It's just the way I try and live. I find it's more of a routine you kind of fall into after. You have to teach yourself to do it. I think that's true. And it's even like self-worth. So this ties into wrestling too, because I say to everyone, people always go to me, oh, Miller, why do you wrestle? I go, to fill up my self-worth tank. That's all wrestling is. I bet there's 50% of wrestlers out there that say, can I just do the bit when my music hits? Everyone goes crazy. I come out, I do a circle around the ring, and then I leave. I imagine 50% of wrestlers go, yeah, that would be great, because it makes you feel good. And I kind of think that is a great summary for life. And then hopefully you can fill up your self-worth tank, as I've dubbed it, enough that you don't need any of the outside stuff. But I think deep down we all need it.
How did your self-worth tank feel at the Bullet Club block party?
Yeah, I felt great, yeah. Felt great. I think it broke. I think it malfunctioned. That was a terrifying day, wasn't it? My friend Tama Tonga in Haku.
Who set that up? Whose idea was this?
Well, I mean, it's real, obviously.
And we want to
hurt each other real bad.
Yeah.
No, it was one of those things where, and look, I will say that that story's not done, so I'll try and skirt around this as much as I possibly can. But I get it. People want to know this stuff. So it was just one of those things where Tama Tonga, between you and I and no one else, is a really good dude.
No one's watching.
He's a really, 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 really good dude, and he gets it. And this is why we met at StarCast, the All In one. And he was familiar with What Culture. Obviously, I knew Tama Tonga was because I'm a wrestling fan. And we did an interview, and it was really fun. Really fun, because Tama Tonga doesn't care. I try and bounce off people, and everyone said it was a really fun, good interview. So, you know, you stay in touch over social media and stuff like that. And this is one of the reasons I love What Culture so much, is that everybody's an individual. Yeah. So there were certain people there that didn't necessarily enjoy Tama Tonga, the wrestler, right? And he gets that. He understands. He's a heel. He's like, whatever. But anyway, I think one day... He'd read a certain article or he'd seen one of my videos. I just thought he was going to have some fun with it. So he just said, oh, Miller, I'm going to recruit you to the Bullet Club party, but screw everybody else. And it made me laugh so much, and it started to gain so much traction that, yeah, we had a little conversation and we were like, well, let's see what we can do with this. And it ended up with us at the Bullet Club invading the Bullet Club block party at WrestleMania and Haku trying to kill us because maybe or maybe not somebody had forgotten to tell Haku that it wasn't... You know,
Haku is running like full speed at you.
If Haku had caught us, kayfabe would have had to have been broken very quickly. Let's just say that. I think Haku was under the impression that it was all legit because, yeah, he hadn't been, we'll use the right terms, he hadn't been smartened up. So I didn't know that
Seriously?
At the time. I didn't know that at the time. I was just like, wow, I said to the guys afterwards, Haku, really good worker, man. I'm fucking angry. As it turned out, no, Haku was understandably so. I would be the same if I thought a bunch of punks had come to my son's party that had been an absolute smash success and he'd put hours of work into and tried to, you know, screw it up. I would have been mad too. So thank goodness from nowhere. I don't know whether you saw the clip where I all of a sudden got these Muhammad Ali, which I don't have in my arsenal, by the way. And all of a sudden, yeah, I'm kind of bobbing and weaving. He would have ripped my head off. There's no two ways about it. Like, that's the other, sometimes you get people going, oh, Miller, you big wuss. And it's like, okay, I'll set Haku on you and I'll see what you do. If you think you can take out Haku, you need to rethink that, son.
Like how, because you're so positive, your best insult there was, their microphones are too quiet.
Well, this is the other thing as well. Like, I don't take myself seriously at all. And I think I've proven that by having wrestling gear that has Y with a question mark written over my ass. Like, I think if you think I take myself too seriously, I definitely don't. So when that was going on, I was like, I don't want to insult him properly. I just want to throw sort of stupid jabs. I think because, you know, I do think everyone has a kind of persona online. And that's the way I like to see myself. You know, I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. But I like being that guy. So even in wrestling, I was like, well, you got to keep it up. Absolutely. And there's a time to be serious. But I thought it was funny. So like,
and whoever picked Shape of You as the fighting music, I didn't realize you were supposed to fight to Ed Sheeran.
Always, man. Always. That's what we do. You see? But no, that was a terrifying day. However, once again, like everything in my life, when I got back, you settled down and you think I went to a New Japan-led party and got to work an angle with Tama Tonga and Jay White and Haku. You're like, man, things are all right.
Is that one of the highlights for you?
It's up there. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like, again, hopefully that is going to have... I have to talk in riddles here, but hopefully that is going to have the natural end that people would want. And if that does happen...
That was very wrestler-like.
Yeah, it was. But if it does happen, then, you know, I can't complain too much. Well... till afterwards, and I'll probably be dead. But, you know.
Since most of the wrestling you watch, I'm sure, is American based, can you do a pretty good American accent?
I'm probably not. Accents, as anyone that has watched Ups and Downs knows, accents are not my strong point. I tried to do an Irish accent the other day and it was abysmal. My Irish? Yeah. Oh, no, I can't do it. See, it sounds, I don't know what that is. American. Could I do American? I don't know now. No, I can't.
You gotta try it.
You gotta try, man. Hey, man, how's it going? Nah, it just makes me sound like a... I hate me straight away. I'm like, I can't do accents.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
I think most people think I have some kind of like British, Australian, American twang anyway. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
All British accents sound the same to me. Well,
of course they would.
Yeah, I'd
imagine they do.
So where's yours supposed to be?
I'm from London. I'm from Luton, but it's like 10 minutes away from London.
Yeah, but the thing here is like you go 5 minutes away and the accent's completely different.
That's true. But yeah, no, I am the most boring British man ever because I'm just from the capital. It's not like some amazing place like Shropshire. But, oh, that, I never heard of that. You know, if you're American, you're like, oh, yeah, I know London. That's dull. Go find somewhere better.
I don't know.
No, accents are not my strong point. But I've used that as well. That Becky Lynch skit I did a few weeks ago. You can watch it now. Ups and Downs. What culture? I don't know which one it was. Even I watched it back. Even Phil, who edits the Ups and Downs, went, no, that is the worst. Like, it wasn't any kind of like, you know, a good try, man. It was terrible. I just laughed at my computer. So yeah, accents aren't my thing. But that's okay. I'm all right with it.
When I tweeted out that I was going to be interviewing you and you retweeted it, thank you so much. People were very excited.
Again, one of those things where I just...
Wild.
I know. Because people are lovely. That's why.
Thank you, people.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Yeah. And everyone wants to know where Y comes from. And it's just like, this is boring. It's a real boring story.
I think more people were interested in the whole what culture to cultaholic thing.
Oh, I know. That's boring, too.
I don't know.
But I understand why, from a fan's perspective, it was really... Because it was like WCW, WWE. It was like, what's this weird crossover that's happening? But I can only talk about it from my point of view. And from my point of view, it was a bunch of people who have always been very friendly and very nice to me are going off to start a new job. And I said, good luck. And they said, thanks, Simon. Good luck with your job, too. And I said, thank you. And that was it. That's honestly it. And I found out, like most other people did, like, you know, they announced it. And I was like, oh, cool. I hope they do really, really well. And I just got back to work. What I wasn't ready for was when I then arrived back on the internet later on and everyone decided that it was my fault. That was the thing that surprised me the most. And for some reason, it was me that had... I can't even explain it to this day. There's no logic there. Mm. I think it was just, well, I recognize those guys and I recognize Simon.
Yeah.
Here's the disconnect. Therefore, I will blame him. And yeah, it was the only time in my many years on social media where I took some time off. I took a couple of days off and I was like, there's just too much hate. There's too much hate. So I thought, I'm just going to... Again, I like to think I'm quite intelligent with this stuff. Apart from the guy I go to the gym, obviously, so I'm a moron.
Yeah.
But so I took some time off and then, yeah, I came back a couple of days later. I just put a tweet out there saying, look, I just want everyone to know I love doing what I'm doing. I wish nothing but the best for them. That's it. That's my story. And that kind of where it... I did something on a video as well where I said something similar saying, look, I'm me, going to carry on being me. You can say whatever you want, and you genuinely can say whatever you want. I understand that if I put myself out there and I'm going to enjoy certain things, like, again, Chris does that tweet, and there's this amazing outpouring of love, then I'm going to accept the other way. If somebody wants to go, Miller, I think you're a bald, right-back asshole. It's like, okay, that's cool. It's genuinely cool, and I'll take it because I think that's what life is all about. It's about balance. And... I mean, that went too far for me, but I removed myself from the situation. Yeah, but to me, that was the only talking point.
It's hard not to take it personally.
Well, the one for me was when someone said, oh, I hope your mum dies. Now it's funny. But someone said, oh, you've ruined my YouTube. I hope your mum dies. That's when I'm done. So I left for a while. But look, there was, even throughout that, though, when I did that tweet, when I came back, it was so many people said nice things. But also, you know, even sort of forums like the, you know, Squared Circle, Reddit, where everybody goes, even someone on there had written a little thing saying, oh, and so you do see the good. And then you take the bad and you throw it away. But yeah, in terms of the actual event itself, I was just like, okay, good luck. And I'm going to keep doing my thing because I'm really happy. And I'm going to focus on me because I don't go focus on Barclays Bank. It's like, it's nothing to do with me. And I kept an eye on what they were doing, of course, because they were people that I know and respected. I understand when there is a shift. No one likes change, right?
Yeah.
So when there is a change, but it was so many years ago now. I, you know, it was 2 years ago, I think. Maybe 2 years ago, And I understand why people are intrigued, but from my end, there is no story. And the guys at What Culture Now, both the wrestling and the other channels, work their asses off. They're great guys and girls. They come up with awesome content. I love working there, as we were talking about before we hit the record button. You know, one of my goals in life is just to keep making as much good content as I can and keep growing What Culture as much as I can. You know, one of my favorite things of the world is when people say it's Simon from What Culture. I love it. Like, that's my birth name, Simon from What Culture. And it puts a massive smile on my face every time. And that's what matters. That's what matters to me. And I'll be the first person to say, again, you're allowed to love it. You're allowed to hate it again for everything we've talked about. But I'm damn proud of everything we do. I think we're true to ourselves now as individuals and as a team. And yeah, long may it continue. That's the way I've always seen it. And yeah, that's the way I'll continue to see it as well.
As a lifelong wrestling fan, when you look back, do you have a favorite match?
Well, I mean, Steve Austin, Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13 is always the one that goes straight to the top, just because I was at the right age. A, it was incredible anyway, but also it's my two favorite wrestlers fighting. And it taught me so much about wrestling when I was still, you know, really young. It taught me, it didn't teach me about psychology, but without even realizing it, I was taken in by psychology, and I was taken in by how violence can tell a story. And, you know, the fact that, again, you know, Steve Austin went babyface and Bret Hart went heel. And I know it's a boring answer, but I often find you do get boring answers to those questions because matches like that sit so high in people's thoughts. Yeah. That's why they do it. That's why they did it to begin with. So, yeah, it was just excellent. And I can still watch it today. And obviously now it's got nostalgia, which means it's protected by anything.
That's right.
But yeah, that's always the one that I go to. And that I watch, you know, if I'm just sort of doing something and I want a match on in the background, I'm like, oh, I'll put on Steve Austin, Bret Hart. And then you can watch also, obviously, the you know, the one they had, the Survivor Series as well, which is like the unsung classic that no one ever talks about, because that's awesome as well. And all the promos beforehand with Austin saying, you know, if you put an S in front of it, man, you get... It was just everything. And that was just before Stone Cold was about to blow up, which is where, like most of us, my wrestling fandom went from like a 7 to a 422. So it was just such a pivotal moment. And yeah, like it would always be there as this thing that I just love it. I just think it's great.
I've been saying this for a while, but it's the most exciting time to be a wrestling fan. You're a wrestler as well. Very exciting time to be a wrestler. What's your take on there now being some competition?
It's the best thing in the world. That truly is as well. It's... I don't think you could have enough successful wrestling companies. I just don't. I mean, if I look at it from a wrestler angle, and I understand I'm still new at that, but the best thing ever is having choices, because you want to be able to have choices. And if you find a company that wants to lock you down to a contract and that works for you, and you have the option of multiple ones of those, awesome. But also from a fan's point of view, you get to choose. Because I've really got into New Japan sort of the last sort of 5-6 years, and... Sometimes I see people going, oh, WWE should be like more like New Japan. I'm like, no, don't do that. I like my WWE. Okay, right now it needs a bit of polishing, but I like my WWE. I like my New Japan. And over the last 6 months, I love my AEW. Like, I think it's a great product. So what I hope happens is, I genuinely don't think WWE will ever go anywhere. And nor do I want it to. You know, I want it to, even if it sits on top forever, that's great. That's fine. The amount of memories and good times they've given me since I was a kid, I guess you have to expect some downtime, and maybe this is the downtime in. But I also want AEW to succeed, but I want MLW to succeed, I want all the indie promotions to succeed. It's just so much fun because everything will offer you something different. And although you can watch whatever you want, so you can try and watch it all, you don't have to. You can just pick and choose and find what works for you. And that's the best thing about anything. It's like most boring analogy ever, right? You don't just want chocolate and vanilla ice cream. Right? You want a bit of strawberry or cookie dough or whatever like that. And that, I feel, is happening. And I think it's awesome that AEW right now has managed to, I mean, clearly connect to these lapsed fans and get people talking about wrestling again. Awesome. Brilliant. Yeah. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Although it's creating this divide. Like I've interviewed, you know, a handful of AEW wrestlers recently, and now people are like, well, dude, you hate WWE. It's like, no, I've asked for several WWE interviews and have been denied, so I will interview whoever, you know, does an interview with me.
As you should.
But it's so funny that you say one good thing about AEW or one bad thing about WWE, and people have made up their mind.
Absolutely, man. And again, you can even tie that into even the ups and downs stuff. Like, honestly, you can say, I enjoyed the opening to Raw, and you can give it an up, which is still up. Like, it's a finger, man. Look at me. But then later on, you can say, but I'd give, I've never done this, but I'd give the Bray Wyatt segment a down. What? You hate WWE? What about the good stuff I just said? But I think it's just a reaction, right? But I get it all the time as well. Like, we're doing loads of AEW videos at the moment because it's exciting and it's fresh. Yeah. And it's hot, exactly. But then you get there and you're like, oh, listen to this AEW fanboy. And sometimes I clock the names. These are the same people that are on Raw ups and downs going, he loved WWE too much. So it's just this... It is crap. I don't. That, we're always going to get a divide because that's just the way the internet works. But I really rather it wouldn't. Like, you can be an AEW and WWE fan. It is possible. I used to watch WWE and WCW back in the day.
Me too.
I loved it. I was always, my heart was always with WWE, but I didn't hate WCW. And when I heard that, you know, Goldberg's on the world title, you know, Friday night over here in England, I'd be like, quick, secretly change the channel, don't tell anyone, and go back. And it was the best.
Yeah.
And now it's even easier to do that because of catch-up and streaming and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a shame. But I guess that's the nature of cult, of niches and passions. It's like Marvel and DC and, well, Nintendo and Sega back in the day. You're not allowed to just like, yeah, you can't like both.
Why can't we just be wrestling fans?
I know. I don't have the answer. Yeah. Comments. Let me know. I want to know why we can't just enjoy wrestling. I think it's because there is a line, train of thought, which I don't agree with, where they think because they believe WWE's content to be so bad that we should be being more vocal about it so they don't go out of business down the line. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, that's... Even if you are the loudest person ever and you get the biggest microphone, megaphone, and Guinness come along and go, you got the world record for the biggest megaphone. It's still, you can shout in it for days. It's not going to make a difference. Doesn't mean you shouldn't shout, but don't expect that if we don't shout that these things are going to happen down the line. I think people should just enjoy it for what it is. I love wrestling. Wrestling right now feels far more exciting than it did 12 months ago. And there was nothing wrong with 12 months
1,000%.
ago. Yeah, it's just more going on and there's more to talk. Look at John Moxley.
Yeah.
I always, if again, 12 months ago, if I had sat here and I went, Chris, in June 2019, Dean Ambrose is going to be called John Moxley and he's going to be the hottest thing in wrestling and being in the G1 Climax at New Japan, you would probably punch me in the face because you'd be like, don't come on my show and tell lies. Be a nice guy. And I would go, fair enough.
Yep.
But that's what's so great about it.
And if 12 months ago I told you the match of the year in 2019 is going to be Cody Rhodes and Goldust.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be like, no, it's not.
Yeah. And you would have said it's going to happen nowhere close to WWE. I'd be like, well, I don't know what world you've painted. And that's why it's awesome, especially because when you do look at two guys like that who themselves have said, and you talk to them, you know, who have said they don't believe they would have gotten those kinds of opportunities in WWE, then isn't it great they have somewhere else to go to make their opportunities? And I think there is, unlike sort of, you know, Ted Turner versus Vince McMahon or Eric Bischoff, there seems to be less of this we want to get you out of business mentality and more we just want to focus on ourselves and take the odd shot here and there, but mostly we want to focus on ourselves and do the best what we can do, and our offense is our defense as well. And that's a much healthier way to be as well, and hopefully eventually that, you know, goes to everybody else.
Well, the phrase I heard that makes the most sense is there's two ways to have the tallest building in town. You either tear down all the other buildings or you just build a better building.
That's brilliant.
And that's what AEW seems to be doing. You know, they're just building it up.
Yeah.
Instead.
And I hope it gets massive, and I hope WWE continues to build there higher as well.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, another phrase, I'm just throwing around all these phrases here.
I like it.
Rising tides lift all boats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the boats are lifting, people.
And also, on a personal level, you have no idea how excited I am. I think it's October, basically, when the AEW TV deal is going to start. You have no idea how excited I am that in 1 week, I'm going to get to review Raw, which is the staple. That's what we all like to do. Then I get to review SmackDown on Fox, which is exciting. Fox, this is going to change. We've seen the new logo. And I'm going to get to do ups and downs for an AEW show. I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome. So again, if I look at it from my personal perspective, I can't wait. That's going to be great. And I can compare them all.
Yeah.
And everyone go, you shouldn't be comparing them. I'm like, but I'm gonna. Like, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
This has been great.
Oh, thank you, man. It has been good as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still just, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm just surprised. I'm still in that mindset where I just see myself as a guy that makes I'm proud of it, but makes dumb videos on YouTube. Sometimes I don't really think about the people watching them.
Yeah.
And so to get an email from a guy like yourself, who genuinely I have been watching the videos and going, hey, he makes good content. And then you say, oh, do you want to? It's crazy. And I feel very lucky
well,
to be
I'm
here.
Also just a guy. It's so funny when you make these videos. Because, like, you know, if we break the fourth wall here, we're two guys sitting in a very small hotel room
nice
in London.
Yeah.
Talking to my phone, which is being propped up by a saucer and teacup. Seriously, because I forgot my tripod in America. So, like, it's very weird because we do this in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And then you put it out into the world and you're like, oh, my God, millions of people see this.
And that's why I feel like it's the coolest thing ever. And why I just want to be able to enjoy it as much as I possibly can. Like I said, this morning, as I was saying, I did the Raw review for Ups and Downs. And when I get back, I'm going to have... you know, hundreds of tweets and hundreds of comments with people telling me that I'm right, people telling me that I'm wrong, people saying, Miller, that skit where you held a funeral for the brand split, which I did today, was dumb or stupid. But what a great place to be in that somebody would want to watch my content and then go to the trouble of letting me know what they thought. Even if it's bad, even if it's a troll, I still take great pride in that. I really, really, really do.
Yeah.
Because my mind still hasn't caught up with the fact that somebody would want to do that.
Yeah, like, I reply to a lot of comments, especially within, like, the first hour or so on YouTube, and people are like, dude, thank you so much. It's like, thank me?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Me. You just watched my 57-minute interview with Sean Spears, and I'm taking 3 seconds to thank you? Like,
that was good, that interview, though.
Oh,
I liked
thank
it.
You.
Yeah, yeah, that's really
that
good.
One,
it's really interesting. It's
like,
interesting, Kent.
If I go, hey, thanks so much for watching, like, it means a lot to me.
Oh man, and I tell you as well, I get lost in the numbers game all the time because I really care. That's the thing, I really, really, really care. And I shouldn't do that, but you do. And you're like, well, why did that one do this amount? But this one only did this amount.
Yeah.
And then last week, for the first time in ages, SmackDown Ups and Downs did more than Raw Ups and Downs. Like, oh, what did we do? Do we have to do that now? And it's a million things, right? It's the thumbnail, yada, yada, yada. But that's when I know I care because I really, really, really care. That's just what it is.
Do you think this YouTube bubble could possibly pop?
I think so. No, that's not true. I think probably not. But because I'm not sure, that's what I mean about earlier when I say I take it every day as it comes. So you could wake up tomorrow and we could be in a vastly different world, I guess.
Yeah.
But you never know. I hope not.
I
love
not
it.
Either.
I've loved it now for, like I say before, because everyone always said, oh, Millie, you just kind of popped up in the wrestling space. But it was including video game stuff before.
Yeah.
So I've loved it for ages, like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And the fact that I've been able to make something of it is... I still want to be up and downs when I'm 72. I mean, if I make 72, I'll be amazed with my luck. But I want to be up and I'm this old man, and I want people to be writing in the comments, he's rubbish. Get a new guy. Where's Triple H? Get Triple H into up the downs. He's past it. That's what I want. I'll be so happy. I want to be the senile old guy that didn't go away. Make that happen, life. I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to put your YouTube channel below in the description.
That's
I'll also pin it as a top comment. So, you know, Simon has his own YouTube channel.
I do have my own YouTube channel.
In addition to What Culture, which I'm sure you're aware of. So you can subscribe to Simon down below.
That's very kind, man. And yeah, my own channel is like I said, it's a bit like a bag of rebels. But that was always the idea. So I'm all right with it. People, you never know what you're going to get. That's very kind of you, though, man.
Yeah.
And this has been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
There you go. What a guy. Thanks to Simon for the interview. Thanks again to James D'Lo for being so kind to lend me your gear so we could record this. I really enjoyed that chat with Simon. I think we should do it again because that conversation really flowed, and I feel like we could just talk and talk for hours. Thank you to Green Roads for sponsoring this episode. Use the code Chris15 for 15% off CBD products at greenroadsworld.com. Also, thanks to Samson for this incredible podcasting gear, the mics, the cables, the mixer, the headphones, everything. SamsonTech.com to check that out. Fighter Fest, AEW's Fighter Fest is this weekend. I'm heading up north to Daytona, about a 4-hour drive from here. So keep an eye out on here and on my YouTube channel for all the interviews that we'll be getting from there.